This is episode 41 of the IDRA Class Notes Podcast.
What I like about these workshops is that in the process, we keep connecting to their needs, to their experiences, to what they contribute. What I will not collude with is their sense of not knowing. Because the system hammers that in. To most poor people, a lot of whatever color or race, you know, it's like you're dumb, you don't know something, and somehow that you're less than as a human being.
Welcome to IDRA's Class Notes Podcast. I'm Christy Goodman. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We'd love to hear from you with any comments or questions that you might have. We'll have details at the end of this podcast on how you can contact us. And if you like our show, please tell three colleagues or leave a review for us on iTunes. That helps others find us, and we really appreciate it. Don't forget to sign up for our free email alert that will help you know when each episode of Class Notes is available. If you're not subscribing through iTunes, this email alert can help you stay up to date. And we won't use your email address for any other purpose. Just go to the website and sign up. And while you're there, you can also sign up for our monthly electronic newsletter called Graduation for All. It's free and shares news and resources focusing on graduating all students across the country. Again, you can sign up at our website for either the English or the Spanish version. Our topic today is college access for low-income and minority students with Mr. Aurelio Montemayor. Hello.
Hi.
Aurelio is IDRA's lead trainer and director of our Parent Information and Resource Center for Texas. He brings extensive experience in working with school personnel, parents, and students. His career in education spans four decades and has included teaching at the high school, middle school, and elementary school levels. He received a bachelor's degree in English and philosophy from St. Edward's University in Austin and a master's degree in bilingual education from Antioch Graduate School of Education in Ohio. He is passionate about the power of parent and community engagement for leadership development and effective education. He's a key developer of our model for parent engagement and in helping schools, parents, and community groups rethink how they work together. I'll also add that he is on the National Board of PTA and is on the Board for Parents for Public Schools. So he is working across the country through his passion for parent engagement. So thank you for being here on this side of the mic, Aurelio.
Well, you know, I'm intrigued by how some topics that are of such burning need for professional middle-class families, when applied to poor working-class blue-collar families or families that don't have a tradition being in college, right away, the first phrase that I hear is, college is not for everybody. And in an absolute sense, I would agree, but given the human capital needs in Texas and in this country, given how low-level service jobs are dying out, machines are taking over, and given the untapped intelligence in these communities, I think we really need to think about and act on how families can find out what college is, how to help their kids get into it, especially those that have no experience in terms of college degrees and what it means.
They may not have someone in their family who's gone to college.
Well, in my family, I was the first one in my extended family to go to college and get a degree. So the thing is, there's also some assumptions, and you know, some of this is going to overlap with stuff we said before. First of all, communication is key. It's not a matter of what information I can give. In other words, it's not just me lecturing to a group of parents about something you don't know about, because that doesn't work with anybody anyway. It's how I engage them and connect to what they already know, and from that go to what they don't know. One very important thing, though, is the assumptions we make. There are a lot of materials out there right now in terms of college access for many reasons. There are groups, agencies, people that want to lend money, all kinds of stuff for many reasons.
Right.
If you go online right now and do a search and try to just put the word college or
how to get to college.
How to finance your college education. You get tons of stuff. And most of it is all right, I guess. You know, you look at it every year, there's new stuff coming up. And some of the stuff gets dated very quickly because, like, for example, information about how you can finance your education, and they have long listings of scholarships, and those vary and change, and a lot of them aren't really appropriate to most kids, most families. But if, as I see the materials that are aimed at, quote, the families that we're most concerned about, it's like they dumb down the materials in ways that doesn't make sense. Because number one, you know that most, if not all, poor and minority families understand that there is something good about going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the broken record in my neighborhood in Laredo when I grew up on the border was get an education so that you don't suffer what I went through. I mean, right. it's a truism.
So how do kids get the idea that they're not for college?
Well,
or that it's not for them?
That's a deeply embedded institutional attitude about who's college material and who isn't. You see that in third graders. You see a teacher walk into a classroom and a teacher say, see those kids back there? They're not even going to finish middle school. You know, mm-hmm. In other words, like, in people's minds, and it can be somebody from the same group, but I went to college, I somehow consider myself better or unique, but I still consider most of the people in my group not college material.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, what I say cynically sometimes is too many children from middle-class families are in college only because parents can afford it or they figured out how to get in, but they're really not college material, and they're underrepresented in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's take a risk with the ones that are underrepresented, and, you know, of course, I'll get a reaction, but it's just that you're so quick to hear these kids are not college material,
mm-hmm.
or college is not so for everybody. You have these wonderful technical schools, and yada, 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 I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also know that there's some racist notions about some groups being good with their hands and not with their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And in my work with families and adults, I keep not getting surprised, but uncovering the complex way of thinking there. You know, it just, well, let me give you, go back. I'm doing the workshop, let's say. It's called
mm-hmm.
Moving Forward, A Parent's Guide to College.
And you've been doing these in several places.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of colleagues doing this. One of the things we do right away in the warm-up is have people in small groups list why is college important and what are the benefits of a college education. Because that's the first thing you're supposed
right.
to tell them.
Right.
Well, they say so much that, oh, I just rearrange it. I might add a little bit about the broadening of the, you know, a little bit about liberal education
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But they're pretty much on target in terms of that it's going to help the earning power, the potential earning
right,
power of their
right.
kids, that it's going to open up skills and knowledge for the lifetime. In
mm-hmm.
other words, it's going to go beyond. And they're going to have better job options. It's just like there's more choices. And I have yet to work with a group, literate or illiterate, English speaking or Spanish speaking, I mean, of all color, shapes, and sizes, that don't come up with a wealth of information when I ask them, why is college important?
Which is interesting. You see so many materials and websites that are clearly designed to communicate to certain parents that or families that college is important.
Now, if they don't quickly say yes, but that's for me, it's
mm-hmm.
for other reasons.
Right.
Look, there's a very serious concern in poor families about taking on debt that they can't handle.
Sure.
And I've heard many a father tell the son, no, mijo, don't do that because, you know, we're barely making
mm-hmm.
it right now. And they know that college is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's getting more expensive. And what I go with is let the kid take the risk,
mm-hmm.
you know. Hey, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a low interest loan. You'll have 10 years to pay it back after
mm-hmm.
he graduates from college.
Mm-hmm.
And you work on that. But it's not that they don't value it. It's
right.
just that they're weighing other things. Because
right. Important things. Real.
Economic survival for anybody, for any family
yes.
is important.
Yes.
Okay. And so, but it's not that they're really dumb about
exactly.
college.
Exactly.
Okay? Now, obviously, there's some things they don't know. A college educational experience is a mystery in many ways to
sure.
families that are not literate or have not gone to college. And one of the things that's wonderful is when we help these families go and do a walkthrough in a college
mm-hmm.
and see what it's like and see the dorms and stuff like that. But what I like about these workshops is that in the process, we keep connecting to their needs, to their experiences, to what they contribute. Because a lot of times they do come in thinking, I know nothing about this,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here as a blank slate to be taught. Because
mm-hmm.
see, that what I will not collude with is their sense of not knowing. Because
mm-hmm.
the system hammers that in. To most poor people, a lot of whatever color or race, you know, it's like you're dumb, you don't know something, and somehow that you're less than as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is our process in all our workshops. But for example, in very specific ways, after they make a drawing about their vision of what college will give to their kids, and mm-hmm. they come out with beautiful drawings.
Yeah.
And they put the cap and gown on the kid, and one is a doctor, a lawyer, designing a jet. I mean, you know, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. These parents have visions, and mm-hmm. but also know that it has to be their child's choice, not right. what the parent wants. I mean, one lady said, look, I've worked in cotton gins and picking cotton all my life, and I want my kid to be able to have a job where he can wear a tie and sit in an mm-hmm. air-conditioned office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, that's simplistic. Well, that's not simplistic
no,
at all.
No.
And to leap from, you know, this was in a part of Texas where there's a lot of cotton gins.
Mm-hmm.
And these families, you know, they have limited reading skills. But, you know, you could see this lady, she was second generation cotton picker and working in a cotton gin. And her kids had helped with that. And she said, I don't, you know, I want
yeah.
my son to have other
well,
possibilities.
Better things for your kids.
Yeah. So then we upgrade periodically, you know, the lifetime earnings.
Mm-hmm.
The average annual household in earnings for people with different levels of education.
Right.
So you start with no high school diploma, and that's, you know, 14,
right.
15,000, whatever. High school diploma, and then that's already $6,000, $7,000, or $8,000 more per year,
mm-hmm.
just from, so that you're saying, well, this is just dropping out of high school and finishing high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say with a 2-year degree, with an associate degree, and we have people stand around with these numbers in large print with cards in their hands trying to match up with somebody that has the title card for that degree of academic attainment. So they stand until we finally form a circle, and we do it for several reasons. Number one is to create motion. So instead of them seeing a list of numbers on
right,
a page,
right.
they're walking around and connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So then you see this progression of, obviously, of increasing money, you know, salary per year, and they see what a PhD
mm-hmm.
gets, and then of course the professionals, degrees like a doctor, architect, lawyer. And as they see that, then for those that don't understand the higher education sequence, saying, okay, here is the no high school diploma, here is the big dividing line,
okay.
high school diploma.
Okay.
And you're going around the circle, and they're getting a very physical sense of, these are 2 years, and it might
right.
take more years, but when you say a 2-year college, it's the community college.
Right.
Like here we would say Alamo Community College
right.
or something like that.
Right.
Then you're saying a 4-year college. Now, know that it'll take your child maybe 6 years,
mm-hmm.
but it's a 4-year college,
mm-hmm.
and when they get their bachelor's,
mm-hmm.
if they're a teacher, they're going to start at about this kind of a salary, mm-hmm. or they're going to make average this in their job. And then, if you go beyond the bachelor's, there's a master's and PhD.
Oh.
So then, people from other countries that have other systems, but also from this country,
yes.
you start getting a real sense of a sequence, and it's getting them beyond certain things. Like, for example, there's been a big push that the community college degree is the terminal degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to families that had trouble getting kids past high school graduation, then 2 years of community
right.
college, and AA is a big thing. And then
right.
we're not putting it down. We're saying, but it's a progression.
Yeah.
And look at, it takes longer, costs more money, and it's more difficult, but it opens up more doors.
Exactly. There's more options for you.
And so we get into that, and it reinforces that there is a higher earning power potential.
Right.
Okay. But we also go back, is anything guaranteed? No. And they understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have all
yeah.
this college degree and not
and
be able to get a job, right?
Yeah.
And somebody might luck out and as a plumber make $100,000 a year. We
exactly.
know that.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of our kids, and they understand for most of you, this is what's going to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's interesting because it's I mean, sure, it's a demonstration of the earnings, but it's more demonstrating the progression, like you said, and it's so easy if you've been to college to just assume mm-hmm. everybody knows that.
Yeah, because let me just give you the three objectives in the opening session
mm-hmm.
with the parents, if
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a series. Number one is to investigate why college studies are important.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, to define higher education.
Okay.
But we don't define it in an academic way. We want to define right. it in a kind of this progression.
Okay.
And a sense of the connection between that and what you attain
mm-hmm.
at that level in
mm-hmm.
those institutions. And the third is to identify when and how parents can help their children attend and complete college.
Okay.
So in all this, what they can do. And they talk about job options and stuff like that. But so then we say, what is higher education? It's all this.
Right.
Oh,
all
okay.
of it.
See,
yeah.
Because it's not about it being an academic thing, but something that is internalized deeply saying, okay, this is what all this
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because sometimes even kids can, who understand a little bit more, can't explain it to their parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, even though
for some of these families, this is new information. And some of them had a lot of trouble distinguishing between bachelor's and master's.
Right.
And some of them want to argue about a nurse doesn't need a BNRN and the LPN practitioner. I said, well, there's a lot of things saying you're in the right conversation because health is a great profession.
Absolutely.
You've got 400 job descriptions you can go into, and there's many paths.
Right.
Okay. But also know that if your child becomes a doctor, they're going to have an attainment and the potential of making a salary that is quite different than if they're a lab technician.
Absolutely.
And to distinguish
That's right.
The other thing is I want them not to be so easily sold to by the businesses, the proprietary colleges that are now so loud. And we found that they're not only very assertive and aggressive in their advertising on television, they knock on doors, especially in smaller towns.
Yeah.
A lady that attended one of our meetings in East Texas during lunch went home and brought back, they had signed a contract with a college, a proprietary school. It's a technical school.
Right.
In Phoenix, for $19,000, and they had never seen it. The girl, they were going to send their girl to go look for a place to live over there.
Oh my gosh!
And of course, one of the ways they sell it is you don't have to take all those other courses, those extra courses, you know, because it's not a liberal, it's not a real degree. Mm-hmm. You don't have transferable credit.
Right.
And what they do, they put you through all the technical stuff, and you get a certificate of some kind, but you don't have the basic language arts and that other stuff, which you do in college.
Right.
And but what bugs me is that that is a binding contract that the parents sign that no matter what happens, they're going to have to pay for
it. Oh, my gosh. Talk about debt.
And so that's why we want to have information out to also have them understand as consumers. And some people take issue with me about, especially if there's a counselor in the room, because they try to get the kids into some of these tech places.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's a lot of, there might be some benefits, but what I tell them is there's no transferable credit.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go to a community college, they can eventually add that up and move towards a degree.
Mm-hmm.
From the technical training, they might come out and do very well, but they're going to be stuck in that because there is no expansion, there's no degree plan, there's no professional ladder they can follow.
So it seems like part of it is just making sure that students and families have the information so they know the implications of whatever choice that they make, and instead of being steered a certain direction.
Well, yeah, one of the things is for them to understand, and the kids too. I asked that little girl of that lady, what do you want to do? Because, well, they showed me the list of things. I said, because she was going to study to be a technician, dental technician, is it? Are you interested in that? She said, well, I don't know. They showed me the long list, and I just put my finger on that one. That's what I'm, you know, I was thinking this little girl was going thousands of miles away.
Oh, my goodness.
To a strange city, to what she thought was a college.
Right.
A business. Okay. It's a proprietary college. And hadn't gotten any counseling or any notion. Well, there were several counselors in the room, and they immediately just zoomed in to talk to the little mother and the girl and to figure out how to break the contract. Because they said, one of the counselors told the little girl, why don't you talk to me, honey? There's a community college here. You can take all those courses for a tiny part of it. And I can get you a little scholarship. You won't even pay more than a couple of hundred dollars to go and take your 12 hours in college. You know? And the little girl said, well, you could tell they were totally lost.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The mother did and father obviously valued higher education.
Yeah.
They signed their name to a $19,000 note.
Wow.
And you could tell it was a contract. This is, you know, a note, a loan.
So we're running low on time. So what is something or a few things that you would say to school folk, to teachers, to school administrators that they can do at any grade level?
Figure out what the initial questions that parents need answered are and create a conversation with some information. Be careful in terms of giving them too much paper, too many books and stuff like that, because then it's not gonna help.
Right.
But more than anything, at the end of that conversation, ask them, what are three things you're going to do? In other words, it has to be something very pragmatic, very practical.
Okay.
Give them a name yourself, somebody else they can connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And have them get a sense of, these are the next three steps I need to take. Rather than try to get them too much information, have a FAFSA filling out, form filling out thing. And work with the kids. Do it on campus. And don't present that to the parents. Help them understand that there are services and there are benefits and there's loans and grants mm-hmm. that children can get. It's highly competitive. And make it participatory. Listen to them.
Oh,
listen
to them.
That's
yes,
all.
Yes, very important. Very
Just
important.
Listen to them.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners. And we will have some links on our show notes for you of some other resources. Let us know what you think. And there'll be information for that coming up.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.